that the Lord is speaking to us as a community this week. We never talked about it, and it's just good to know that our messages is connected to one another. And also, since I am not graduating from my MDiv yet, I'm sorry that I don't have free lunch. So, where's Lou? Pastor Lou. So, yeah. So sorry for disappointing you. But anyway, it's, as I've mentioned, it's just so timely. And my question for today is, where did our compassion go? That is the message of the video as well. And last Tuesday, I already had my sermon ready. But then upon hearing Pastor Lou's message, I was able to get this question that he has from his preaching. I'm not sure if you still remember, but let me just, let's be reminded, this is the passage. This is the question that he asked us last Tuesday. He said, "Why do poor people don't feel loved and accepted when there are millions of Christians all over the world?" So it struck me, this question struck me, although I already have my sermon, but I felt that this is very important to answer this question for today. So this is very interesting and very sad truth that we have millions of Christians around the world. And I think there's one reason, I know one reason why there are still many poor people, there are still broken people around the world who are feeling not loved. Even we are already Christians. We Christians are expected to be advocates of love, expected to demonstrate mercy to the lost, to the needy. But why do they feel that they're not loved? Even though we are sharing, we are giving out, we have tons of events, we have compassionate ministries, even in APNTS, we have Committee for Compassionate Ministries, we have mission trips, but then again, these people still feel unloved from us Christians. And I guess the answer is, we lost our compassion. We've lost our compassion. We've lost it, and that's the sad truth. The passage that Sarah read early, we read it from James. It is addressed, let me just get back to it. It is actually addressed to the Jewish Christians. So meaning they are already believers, just like every one of us here. We are already believers. And we are expected to show compassion. But still, the author emphasized the need to be compassionate. The reason is because the Christians, the Jewish Christians, have lost their compassion. They're so consumed with their religion, with their rituals, with whatever they're doing with their religion, their rites, their ceremonies. They're so passionate about it. But the sad truth is that they're forgetting the real essence of religion, and they've lost their compassion. It may not be evidently written here, the word compassion, but the passage talks about compassion. So what is compassion? Compassion is not the same as pity. Many of us would believe that when we feel pity towards others, we are already feeling compassion. But compassion is not about just pity. Compassion is a way beyond having the feeling of being sorry for the misfortune of someone. It's more than that. It's not as same as having a pity towards others. I like how Barbara Thompson said, she is a writer, an author, and an advocate of compassion. She said, "Compassion means to feel love and mercy towards another person. It means to have deep sympathy and desire to relieve the suffering of others." To relieve the suffering of others. It's not just you're feeling pity over another. It's not just you are feeling sorry for what the others is going through. But you have the desire, you are feeling the desire to take away the suffering from that person, to relieve the person from pain and brokenness. That is compassion, which is affirmed by from what we've read early. James 1:27 says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." In King James, the King James Version used "to visit." And the original text, I'm not a Greek student. I'm a Hebrew student, 1 and 2, so help me from here. You have to forgive me, and I'm not sure if I have studied it very good. So it says that the original text use is episkeptomy. It is a verb. It is an action word, which means to look after, to see someone and see how he is doing, to go to someone, to see someone like sick, poor, or someone who is afflicted in order to provide help. So that's what it says on the original text. So compassion is all about these things. It is a love in action. Compassion is a love in action. We don't just simply feel pity or sorry about the situation of another, and we have the desire to relieve them from suffering, from pain, from brokenness, from distress, and we take action from this feeling. And James said, apparently, as Christians, as believers, we've lost it. I just have a little confession to make. Back in high school and college, I thought that I am a very compassionate person. I really thought. Do you also feel that you're compassionate? So I really feel that I'm very compassionate. I give to the people, the beggars on the streets, and coins or whatever in excess, or I, especially for old folks, I always have ready coins. So when I was in college, in PUP, as Pastora Joy mentioned, this is a very familiar, this is exactly the underpass I always pass by every morning. For a semester or two, I stayed with my aunt, and I needed to pass this underpass. This is along the university belt in Recto, right next to Isitan. I'm not sure if you're familiar. But I always pass this stairs. And on that stairs, there are always 3 old people begging for money. So as a compassionate as I am, as I believe, I would always give to these old folks. Almost every day, I would pass by this underpass, I would give probably 5, 10. I'm just a college student, so I don't have that much. So I feel that I'm really compassionate. I give. But one morning, I decided to go to school very early. So I was walking, and I didn't see them set up on the stairs. They're not yet there. Only to be surprised that they're these old folks, accompanied by 2 younger, one younger man, about early 20s, with a cigar on one hand, and another lady, about 30s, accompanying them, setting up their begging station. I don't know what he called it, begging station, giving them instruction, giving them the quota of the day that they need to raise certain amount. So seeing that, I was so mad at these 2 guys, although I still feel compassionate about the old folks, but I can say that I really lost my compassion. I felt that even though if I would give to these old people, they won't be able to use it. I felt that these 2 people are just using the old folks and that they are a syndicate. So from then on, whenever I see beggars, I will no longer give. I'm always skeptic. So whenever I see kids on the jeepneys, I would not give. I would say, I'm just going to give offering to the church because probably they are syndicate. So it lingers in my head that, no, I'm not going to give. I'm I have been skeptic from then on for a long period of time. And even the television, they would always promote that. Do not give to the beggars on the streets because they are syndicate. They are being managed by syndicate. So I really lost my compassion, especially for the people on the streets. But then, after several years, which is 5 years ago, so from college, imagine, from college years to last 5 years, I face this dilemma. I have applied and I have been accepted as an employee, as a worker for Nazarene Compassionate Ministries. So, kind of weird, right? I don't have compassion, but I will be working for the Nazarene Compassionate Ministries. So I have this great burden in my heart. Lord, how would I be able to work on a compassionate ministries that I don't have compassion myself? I asked the Lord, how in the world I would be able to work compassionately if I don't have compassion? So I cried out to the Lord, I prayed, and the Lord started to transform me. It didn't happen 24 hours, but the Lord gave me the opportunity and He transformed me. And right now I can say that I have compassion, but then it didn't happen right away. So there are some steps, or I could say revelation, that the Lord showed me during this time that I was asking for compassion. During that time, I was asking, Lord, what do I need to do to get this compassion back? I need my compassion back. I've lost it, Lord. And I cannot be who I am that you wanted me to be the Christian, to be the religious person you wanted me to be, if I don't have this compassionate heart. So then the Lord revealed these things to me. In order to have compassion, the Lord said to me, you have to have this. Compassion requires empathy. Compassion requires empathy. This is probably why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:22, to the weak, I became weak. To win the weak, I have become all things to all people, so that by all means, possible means, I might save some. Empathy, it's not just feeling sorry. Empathy is wearing someone else's shoes in order to completely understand where they're coming from, what they're going through. Many times we are guilty of giving out solutions to issues, to problems that we really didn't know the real concern. We have fabulous events, fabulous activities in the church, giving out to the poor, we have sponsors and all, without knowing if the person or the community really needs it. How does it really feel to be abused, to be neglected, to starve, to lose someone? Many times we thought we understand what they're going through, but we really don't. Way back when I was working in a BPO, or what we know, call center, when we give out empathy statements, we would always start with, I understand where you're coming from. So that's a very familiar words to everyone. But one day, when I gave out this template script to a person I'm speaking to over the phone, the lady said, no, you really don't understand. You don't understand what I am going through. So I worked as a call center agent for a couple of years. Technical support for Comcast. Anyone familiar with Comcast? It is a cable company and internet company provider. So I worked there for like about 3 years as a technical support. Technical support means when they have problems with their cable, wirings, and all, you need to solve it over the phone. So this is how it works. This is what we need to instruct them. Yeah. So they need to assemble their DVDs, television, their VCRs and all, and they will call us how to do it. All right? Easy? Right. So, not just that, there are some fortunate people who would have home theater. Yeah. Yeah, easy? So, you have to do it over the phone. How will you instruct to do the wirings? Coax cable, HDMI, Monster cable, RCA, and many others. So, we need to tell them how to do this. So, they call us if they have problems, issues with this, because it's too costly to get a technician to go to their home, right? Our professor would agree. It's very costly to get a technician to set this up. Ah, yeah, there's manual. Who reads the manual? Do you read the manual? Yeah? So, that's what we do. But then, we are being trained to do this for like a month or two. But then, one thing that we are asked to do is, aside from having the technical skills, you have to have an empathy. Your empathy is as important as your technical skills. Why? Imagine a 90-year-old, seriously, a 90-year-old lady who just get a 52 inches television from her son, would have a brand new home theater at home and wanted to watch her favorite television show and would call you, can you set this up? How would you ask an old lady, 90 years old, to set this thing up over the phone? Can you tell me? And can you imagine how difficult it is for that 90-year-old lady to set this one up? You have to have an empathy first before you would be able to give out the technical skills. Because it's really difficult. A 90-year-old, imagine you would ask her to push, pull, rewire. And it's really difficult. How does this 90-year-old lady feels about these wires? Do you do your wires at home? No, right? So, empathy. It's weird. They say that Filipinos are not empathetic. I would agree. Usually, when somebody says, I'm having a hard time, my initial response previously without the empathy, okay, I see. Oh, I see. I thought it's an empathy, but no. So, aside from being trained for technical skills, the long period of being trained with technical skills for like a month or two, we are also being trained to have empathy skills for like 3 to 4 weeks. Imagine that. Weird, right? Empathy skills? You are being trained for that? But yeah, it's true that many of us do not have empathy. And in order for us to have compassion again, we need to have empathy. Empathy that allows us to feel what they are really feeling. Not just knowing from our heads, but feeling and wearing their shoes and knowing what they are exactly going through. And thus, Paul said, to the weak I became weak. To win the weak, I have become all things to people, so that by all means possible, I might save some. Now, let's say you already have empathy. Praise God for that. Empathy helps us to be sensitive to their needs. From empathy, going back to the passage in James 27b, it says to look after the orphans and widows in their distress. This means that through constant visit, as what we have defined earlier, looking after them and checking on them, we are made aware of their situation. Most of the time, we only see the surface, their material needs, but with empathy, it allows us to be sensitive to their deeper needs, their psychological needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs. How does it feel to be an orphan? Is it enough to provide food, clothing? How does it feel to be a widow? We don't know unless we have empathy. Empathy allows us to be sensitive to their needs. Alexander Ross, in his commentary, said that widows and orphans way back then, they were deeply cared because their emotional and moral and spiritual needs are very evident. But without empathy, we might be giving people something that they don't really need, and we might even worsen their situation. Another example of empathy is in Matthew 25, 35. It says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Look how the need has been provided. The hungry was given something to eat. The thirsty was given something to drink. How many times do we give something that they don't really need? It takes empathy to understand what Jesus needed that time. So probably the one who gave Jesus what he needs knows how to be hungry, knows how to be thirsty, knows how to feel cold. That's why he was given clothing. We know that many times we provide solutions that are not really what they need. And so, there's this one magazine television in the Philippines called Rated K. And whenever they go, they would say that they would go to the poor area. But I don't understand why everywhere they go, they would provide slippers. Just slippers. They would feature the poverty of the location. They would feature what are the needs, the food and all. But at the end of the show, they would give slippers. How many of our churches, how many of us would do the same thing? I don't know. I cannot judge. I don't want to judge them. I'm sorry. I don't want to judge them. But yeah, many times we provide something that they don't really need. And finally, empathy, awareness, and sensitivity of compassion leads us to action. When we were made aware of the situation, the real need, It is impossible not to be moved. If you have compassion, it's impossible not to be moved. Compassion, it says here, compassion, it is not just a feeling with someone, but seeking to change the situation. This is something good. I like this line. If you are going to be compassionate, be prepared for action. That's Desmond Tutu said. In Matthew 20, 34, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and followed him. When Jesus felt compassion, he followed it up with action. The author didn't say that Jesus felt compassion and he felt sorry and then goodbye. But he said in this passage, he did something to relieve the suffering of the person. I have seen and personally did the same thing in the past. I would say, when someone goes to me that needs something, I would say, "I will pray for you, brother." Yeah, prayer is an action word. It is a verb. But as Christians, we need to show tangible expression of compassion. Tangible expression of compassion, especially if we are capable of giving what they need. Compassion is the cry also of the Nazarene Church. And I believe not just the Nazarene Church, but our churches, Christian churches. You know, Phineas Breezy said, "Let the Church of the Nazarene be true to its commission, not great and elegant buildings, but to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and wipe away the tears of the sorrowing." My question today is, do you still have the genuine compassion towards others? As a community APNTS, do we still have the compassion, genuine compassion toward others? If yes, then praise God. My prayer is that the Lord will increase our compassion even more. But if we are struggling with compassion, if we've lost it, if we no longer have the empathy, the real empathy to those who are needy, it is our call today to ask the Lord to bring back our compassion to those who needs us. It's not just being consumed by religion, but we are called to be compassionate, and compassion is a love in action.